The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. At Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, the Memorial Day summer kickoff is on. Get massive savings all month long. And remember, it's backed by Morse. You can also save on a luxurious Cadillac and get more peace of mind at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon with their like-new certified pre-owned Cadillacs. All certified pre-owned Cadillacs are inspected, reconditioned, and warrantied. And there's also special financing available. See the dealer for details and visit EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. At Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, it's official. Summer's here and the savings are heating up. Brian Danahy, general manager at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, has the Memorial Day summer kickoff. Take advantage of holiday offers all month long, like 2018 XT5 crossovers, just $299, zero down. But that's not all. Get 0% financing 60 months on all new Cadillac models. Rush to Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher, or visit EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. See the dealer for all the details. Remember, that's EdMorseCadillacTampa.com.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Happy Thursday. It's the Ira Kaufman Podcast, starring the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Ira Kaufman. The man is almost over his cold. He is back from Atlanta, the NFL owners meetings, where, my gosh, it's the talk of the sports world. What was going on up there, Ira? Glad we could get you out there. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper is here. And, of course, as you heard, we're presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Sage, here we are. You're back from the plane. We're on the ground here at Hooters, Hillsboro. How are you, Sage?
Well, I want to send out my condolences to Delta Airlines. I'm supposed to have an 8:37 p.m. flight to come back to Tampa, and they make the announcement at 7:30. The plane has arrived. It's pulling into the thing, but there's going to be a half an hour delay. I figure, well, mechanical problems, this and that. And then they say, we're waiting on the flight crew. Flight crew's not here. I mean, come on, Lee. You got to do better than that.
It happens all the time. Even the best of airlines, I get that a lot. Flight clear is not here.
I was ready to don a uniform and go down the aisle and take drink orders. I was ready. Get me home.
Don't you see yourself as more of a pilot, Ira, not a stewardess?
Well, I was a pilot in the NFL meetings in Atlanta. I can tell you that. Trying to steer my way through these cloud-ridden skies surrounding Jameis Winston. Steve, I'll tell you this. A lot of the writers there looked at me and said, what the heck are you doing here in Atlanta, Kaufman? You don't come to the May meetings, which I don't. You know, the March meetings has the coaches, the GMs. You and I went to Phoenix a couple of years ago. We were all in Orlando. The May meetings, you know, the Buck fans cared at New Orleans and Glendale, Arizona, getting the next two Super Bowls. Did they care about the kneel downs? Not necessarily. But I was there on a mission, Steve, a pure and simple mission. What is going on with this Winston investigation, comma, which is now about 7 months old? And when I said I was there to dig up, you know, the mystery surrounding Jameis Winston, three or four guys go, is that thing still going on? That shows you, Steve, from a national perspective, nobody's talking about this. Nobody's even aware of it. And part of it is that the Bucks have not been a relevant franchise. If this was this is the franchise quarterback of this organization. Yet all these national guys are going, that we don't have a conclusion on that Uber thing? What's going on? It's very much off the radar.
Says a couple things. One, to your point, and we all know this, and I know Buck fans don't like to hear this, but the Bucks are so far down the totem poles as far as popularity in the NFL, and that's why you don't see them a lot on the NFL Network. That's why you don't see them talked about in ESPN. These firms do their research to find out what teams are most popular because they're not in business to be cheerleaders. They're in business for one reason only, eyeballs. And if the Bucks can get them eyeballs, they'll get coverage, but the Bucks don't get eyeballs. So that's number one. Number two, to the larger point, you mean this isn't over with yet? There you go. Even people that don't even give a hoot about Jameis Winston can't believe this has been dragged on like it has.
I was all set for Roger Goodell at the podium, Steve. I was all ready to move in like a Brooklyn man with information. I had the question all perfectly framed. You know, Roger, the Jameis Winston investigation is entering its seventh month. This is a very big deal in Tampa. It's a big story. Buck fans want to know what's going on. Can you shed any light on the progress of this thing? Any indication when it might end? Some people might be wondering whether to get Buck tickets. They want to see Jameis Winston in week two against the Eagles. If it's Ryan Fitzpatrick, maybe they don't go. The NFL's got a vested interest in wrapping this thing up. And I never got the chance, Steve. He came in on Tuesday. He took two questions on the kneel down issue and the national anthem. Four owners stepped to the podium, said a couple of words. Next thing I know, they're all gone. Absolutely gone. Followed by a quick announcement by an NFL spokesman. That will be the total access to the commissioner for the rest of the meetings. Have a good time, gentlemen. And there I was. And after that, I went to the lunch counter. Well, what else am I going to do?
I hope they had decent grub there.
I got white bean soup. That's what kind of shape I was in.
I did want to ask you, in Atlanta, that's where you had the best beet salad
right. That
you've encountered. Did you go get another one?
You know what? I believe I was in a different concourse than you and I were when we went to that Falcons game when Julio Jones went absolutely ape against the Bucs secondary. And I remember that beet salad. So I didn't have a chance, Steve. We didn't walk past the same place.
I hate to go old school, but did you pull an O.J. Simpson and try to get there across the concourse?
I looked in the concourse directory, but I couldn't remember the name of the restaurant, so I was kind of stuck. I was in the A concourse, and I forgot where you and I ended up.
And that's B for beats, so you got
you.
It couldn't have been that good if you don't remember the restaurant.
You know where I ended up? P.F. Chang's, gentlemen. P.F. Chang's. Again, soup, wonton soup, a little spring roll.
Now, I probably know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask anyway. Did you encounter a Chick-fil-A outlet at the airport?
I don't believe so.
Really?
I don't believe so.
Okay, because
there was a McDonald's.
Well, the reason why I ask is I almost exclusively fly Southwest, and there's a Chick-fil-A kiosk, for lack of a better term.
I was on Delta.
Okay, well, at any rate, on the concourse that houses Southwest, there is a continuous 30-yard-long line waiting to get Chick-fil-A at that concourse.
Now,
it's ridiculous.
Guys, I will say this. While all these NFL national media types could care less about the Jameis Winston investigation, it's very much off their radar, one of the NFL PR guys saw me, and he knows I've been around a long time, and he's not really familiar with me being at the May meetings, which they have every year. And a lot of times it is in Atlanta. Atlanta's a very common spot, sometimes Chicago.
Easy to get to.
And he saw me, and he goes, "You here for JW? And I said, "Absolutely." Now, Lee thinks that might have got back to Goodell, and that's why he was off the
podium. Yeah, that's the way I think.
No, it's not the case, Lee.
Hey, Roger, I was going to pester you about Jameis Winston. You better get out of here.
He took two questions about the national anthem, and he got out of town.
Well, didn't Roger give you the blow-off in Orlando as well, or the cold shoulder?
The cold shoulder. He was talking about Bethpage Black with a couple of guys. And
he talked to you in Orlando. He just wasn't interested in talking.
He wasn't
interested in talking Winston. Now, your efforts there in Atlanta, Ira, I know that you really can't share a big, big part of your trip, but some of it was on the record, and you can share whatever you feel comfortable with, but you did spend extensive time with the Glazers, Team Glazer, Brian and Joel in Atlanta, and, any vibes, any feelings, any important quotes you want to share?
Well, they reinforced a view held by the three of us as soon as last season ended, and that being that this team wasn't tough enough. They didn't use the word soft, but it was clear, just like Arthur Blank said after Mike Smith's first bad year in Atlanta, Arthur Blank went to the podium and said, "We're not a tough football team. We're not a tough team to play against." And who was on that staff? Mike Smith and Dirk Cutter.
Yeah.
And I always remembered that. I always remembered that. And I think it was a very, very similar sentiment by Brian and Joel Glazer when this season ended. We're not tough enough. They think Jason did a very good job addressing the trenches. And to them, that was the area that had to be addressed. We got to get tougher guys. So here comes Bo Allen. Here comes Vita Vea. Here comes Ryan Jensen. not only physically but mentally, kind of on the nasty side, maybe even Pierre Paul. They think Light did a spectacular job on draft night. Very well prepared. I think we'll see the quotes, later in the next few days. They thought that the scouts, Cutter and Light, were all locked in that night in terms of all kinds of scenarios. How are we going to react? When I threw out, that, gee, I wonder what Jason would have done if Quentin Nelson was there at number 7. Would he have taken that deal with Buffalo? They kind of looked at me and go, you'll never know, Kaufman. You'll never know. That tells me he very well could have told Buffalo to take a hike. I'm taking the guy, which is what the Colts did. We're not interested. We got our guy, and I think the Bucks would have done the same thing. I think so.
Interesting. Now, Jason Light, still in need of a new contract.
Yes.
Did you get a feeling that, you're the one sitting there talking to Brian Glazer, talking to Joel Glazer, hearing them talking about the preparation of Light with the draft and how impressed they were? Because they watched the draft in the war room, right? That's how they do it. They're not watching on TV like the rest of us. So they see
there were three Glazer brothers in that room, and I might want to point out that Ed was the closest one to Light and Dirk Cutter, and the other two guys were more on the fringes. That's a point I brought up to Joel and Brian. They shrugged their shoulders. Ed, he put his foot down. He wanted to be next to where the action is.
So when you're talking to them though, did you get a feeling that, hey, they were so impressed with Light in this draft and the process that's a factor in his job security?
Well, I also got not only the draft do they give him high marks, and we'll never know, for 2-3 years. We won't know. They, in terms of free agency, because I mentioned Baker, and I went back in time and Anthony.
What was their reaction when you mentioned Baker?
No argument that he was a bum. No argument. How could they? How could he? Even Jason Light wouldn't argue it. He made a mistake. But they made a point that they think in free agency this year, Ryan Jensen, maybe beyond Ryan Jensen, that they brought in guys, Light brought in more of an emphasis on guys that love football. I think Jensen's a perfect example of that. Whereas, that was a question with Baker. And I even mentioned, those intangibles, that you can't tell that from film.
That's true.
You can't tell. And then I told him the story. And look, I might as well reveal my source now. I might as well, because years have passed. And I told them that at the NFL meetings a couple of years ago in Arizona, at that Monday night party, Jay Gruden, and I've never outed Jay Gruden, but it's time. It's timely, because Swaggy's not here anymore. Jay Gruden was walking down the steps, getting ready to go to the party, and I spotted him, and my wife wasn't there. Instead, I was married to Isbits for that trip.
And his driving.
And Steve wasn't near me. I think I was by myself at that moment. Steve was probably getting a shrimp cocktail. And I know Jay Gruden from his years in Tampa.
Sure, yeah.
And so I said, hey, Jay, I didn't ask about DeSean Jackson because I thought I knew about DeSean Jackson. Baker was more anonymous at that point. And so I said, what are Buck fans getting in Chris Baker? I didn't call him Swaggy because he didn't have that name, And he's the guy that looked at me without hesitation. Pretty good player, Ira. Doesn't like to practice. That was beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. I told his bits that night. And Steve says, we got to keep an eye on this. We got to monitor
it. And sure enough,
boom, we had him dead to rights. So props to Jay. Props to Jay, to Gruden. He knows what he's talking about, Steve. They let him hit free agency. What does that tell you?
It was his coach. So it's a neat little background on that story, Ira. He was nicknamed Swaggy before he got to the Bucks, but that's fine. Anyway, so Sage, interesting. Great to hear that you're bonding with Team Glazer. Did you get a good appetizer out of this or a good snack?
They picked up the tab for my ginger ale, Lee.
What can you say?
Picked it up. I wanted to leave. I offered to throw a buck down. They said absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Very nice. Very nice. did you get one of the quotes that we have scheduled to run? We didn't run everything from the Glazers yet. We'll spread it out over the weekend. If you're listening to the podcast, of course, JoeBucksFan.com stays very busy over the holiday weekend.
They had an interesting quote on Ronald Jones, which was I think Buck fans are going to be interested in.
Go ahead with that.
I'll let you.
There's some stuff on there. Jones. I was going to say, you know, that they talked about Dungy. You asked about the Ring of Honor.
Yes.
And did you get a feeling that, you know, they've sort of learned and they're looking for the next Dungy in a sense of the way they look at Dirk Cutter and consistency of his message and that they respect a level of stubbornness? You know, I don't know. I was trying to read between the lines.
I didn't get any regrets, Lee, about the way the whole thing ended. I think the feeling still is it was time to move on in another direction. Who could argue with the results?
Yeah.
Who could argue? I didn't get the feeling they're longing, you know, well, we made a terrible mistake moving on. It happens. It happened to Gruden. He got his 7 years, and it was time to move on. Happens all the time in the NFL, Lee. But they do respect Dungy's emphasis on community involvement. There's no question about it. You know, that's a trend that continues today. Because the Bucs are doing a good job in the community today.
Well, you know what?
Especially Jameis Winston.
Well, you took the words out of my mouth. I think the Glazers have access to information we will never have. And that's one reason they like Jameis. Despite the losses, he's the best quarterback this franchise has ever had. Plus, he's got his potential is unlimited. But all the work he does in the community, the Glazers like that.
Absolutely. My takeaway, and we talked quite a bit about Winston, not about the investigation, but about Jameis as a franchise quarterback. I got absolutely zero sense that they've lost any faith in Jameis Winston. Zero. In fact, quite the contrary. They think he is the guy. Got to tweak a few things. He is the guy. And by the way, I ran DeSean Jackson past them. And I said, you know, Dirk goes out of his way to say that DeSean Jackson did all the right things. He was open. Mm-hmm. They backed up Dirk Cutter's assertion. They backed it up. We didn't hit him. We didn't hit him. He was open. I thought that was interesting. So that's a unified directive coming out of one Buck place. DeSean Jackson did his job. We didn't do ours in getting him the ball.
And additionally, the unified stance is they're behind Jameis 110%.
Absolutely behind him. Absolutely behind him.
I can sort of hear a lot of fans right now, Ira, sitting in their car. Maybe they got their earbuds on at work, and they're like, well, okay, they believe in Jameis, but he can't hit the wide receiver who's open. Well,
They think that's going to change.
All right.
They think that's going to change.
So they believe in the future is what you're saying.
They believe in his development.
Well, there's enough credible...
And they already think he's improved quite a bit.
Well, there's enough credible sources out there that are not blaming Jameis. Lewis Riddick among them. Like, no, while you were in Atlanta, Lewis Riddick did us. I recorded it. It was on NFL Live. I wrote about it. That, you know, it was about red zone offense and the Bucs, how they struggled terribly in red zone last week. Lewis Riddick said he watched a cut up of every red zone play the Bucs had last year. Every one. He said there were so many drop passes it was unreal. That's not Jameis.
I don't recall it that way, Steve.
I don't either, but
Lewis
Riddick does.
I really don't recall it that way. Maybe that's why Riddick's not a general manager over there at Kemper.
That's fine. All right, Sage.
He said flat out drop passes. His words, not mine.
I've got to ask you. I know you. I know what kind of mollusk you are. I know what the orders you were for this Atlanta trip. So the bottom line for the listeners who are wondering, whatever you did talk about the Jameis investigation with the Glazers, that's on the long list of things that are off the record. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct.
All right. What's on the record is that you can go to fanretreat.com right now. No more lightning tickets.
What a setup, Lee. What a setup.
But you can get all sorts of event tickets, concert tickets, Buccaneers tickets right now at fanretreat.com. Just like a SeatGeek, but much better because you can get your flights if you want to go on a road game.
What if they want to go to the Vegas Capitals Stanley Cup Finals?
They can do that as well. You know, some people are falling further in love into hockey. They can go right to the finals to Vegas, get your tickets, get your travel, get your hotels, your rent a car. Fanretreat.com. Use your Joe Bucks Fan discount code. And do not forget the Bourbon Street Takeover, the big road trip, Ira the Commish, Joe Bucks Fan. Bourbon Street Takeover is presented by Fan Retreat. And they're going to have all the information on the special details of that journey. But you want to text TAKEOVER to 345-345. Text TAKEOVER 345. to 345-345, and that's just going to get you the information faster and first access to the big discounts. And get that done at fanretreat.com. But actually, you can't text on fanretreat.com. So text takeover to 345-345. Ira, your podcast, Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, subscribe, listen there.
I'm off the charts, Isbits.
Now, we didn't bring this up last podcast, but congratulations, Ira. You know, even Joe DiMaggio's hitting streak ended. Everything ends at some point.
I must have hit three line drives that were caught over there, DeKemper.
Your podcast, after 7 months, a little over 7 months, fell off the national charts.
They must have changed the algorithm over there, DeKemper. That's what happened.
So you fell off the top charts, which is the top 50, all genres, all subjects. An amazing run at Google Play specifically, but you're still the king of iTunes for Bucks-related podcasts. And I believe you're going to get back.
I'll be back, like Schwarzenegger, Lee. I'll be
well,
back.
Well, I've got a fan review question for Steve. I think I know the answer, but I just want to make sure. Now, Rays tickets, it's a joke. You don't have to worry about Rays tickets. However, there are a segment of Rays fans, I know of a few, that they like to travel to watch the Rays. You know, they mini vacation. Can they get road tickets to see the Rays games where tickets are a little more difficult to find than just rolling up at the Fruit Dome?
You can get tickets on fanretreat.com to any team in the country. Just that simple. Great local Florida company to support as well. We love our guys. Sean over at Fan Retreat.
Did you mention our big night in New Orleans, Steve? Did you mention it? Who's going to be
sure
there
did.
And the night before?
Well, that's part of the Bourbon Street Takeover. To get that information, you got to text Takeover. To 345-345.
Hey, Steve, one thing I want to share with our listeners, vis-a-vis the Glazers. look, I gave him a green light. I said, all right, gentlemen, take your pot shots at Joe Bucks fan. What do you got? Anything you want to say, I'll bring it back to the two leaders of Buck Nation. And I gave him free pot shot. We don't like this. We don't like that.
You teed him up.
You know what they said? I don't know how they do what they do. I don't know how they put all those fresh stories up in the middle of the off season. You know, theoretically, nothing going on, and updating it every hour with another story. How do they do it?
So, in other words, we're making Scott Smith look bad.
They didn't say that. They didn't say that, but they do admire the work ethic of you two Nudniks.
Hey, listen, the Glazers know where to find me, Ira. I don't need a messenger.
There you go.
I'm teasing you. I appreciate that. But you know what? This is hilarious. This is unbelievable news. And since I'm not going to do much editing on this podcast because we're about to go to OTA practice and we're on a tight timetable today because you've been traveling, Ira, the unbelievable news is that as we were talking just then, I looked you up on the Google top charts and you are back right now, 39th. There's the Ira Kaufman podcast. Right ahead of, right behind Nancy Grace, Crime Stories.
I can't match up with Nancy Grace.
And a country music
podcast.
She made
her bones on that O.J. Simpson case, right?
A couple of...
maybe the Menendez brothers, one of those.
Along those lines, yeah.
I'm back, DeKemper.
And there's a country music podcast behind you.
Yeah, so. You made my day, Steven.
So how funny is that? So you know what? No algorithm issue. They're measuring it right. You're back.
You know, I don't know why I took a dip for a couple of weeks. Who the heck knows? But I'm back.
There you go. All right, Ira. Now,
tell me about what I missed at the Tuesday OTAs, gentlemen. What did I miss?
Yeah, they only had 15 or 30 plays out there on the field, so not much. Underwear football, you know the whole deal. But, Ira, I wanted to run a couple of things past you, which I thought were funny, and we're looking for your sage wisdom. First, the Bucks re-signed Bernard Reedy, and yeah, big deal. So he's another camp body. He went to the Patriots last year, got on the Super Bowl roster. He's been on the street ever since. But Ira, the NFL owners meetings this week, they changed the kickoff rules very significantly.
Yes.
And do you find it a little unique that they changed the kickoff rule, which is probably going to generate more returns but less injuries, except for the returner, who's more likely to get blasted, and all of a sudden they change the rule, and then they sign Bernard Reedy, returner.
Maybe he could also help on coverage, not just returns. Rich McKay said the other day, Lee, that they think the kickoffs are going to sort of be more like punts, and they're going to be returned a lot more.
Okay.
Which is a good play if you can take the safety issue out of it. They want kickoffs if you can, you know, minimize the head injuries.
Yeah.
They're not against kickoffs. They're against the head injuries.
Yeah, from what I understand, they're against the kickoff returns.
Yeah. So they tweaked the rules, as Steve said. Look, Reedy might be able to help on coverage. I see your guy Shepard's no longer available, Lee. I don't believe he's available.
Dave Gettleman signed him with the Giants.
What do you know?
So, do you like this change in the kickoff, Ira? Do you not understand it? Do you want to give us a background?
I thought they were headed towards eliminating kickoffs. I mean, that's what I thought. I thought that's the evidence was clear that that's the direction they were going in, which I don't like. I wouldn't like that, you know?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, this thing's going to come to a head in a year or two. The emphasis on safety, everybody understands it. You know, every time the league starts thinking about this, they see an image of CTE on a chart. That's what they think about. You know, and damages and liability.
Liability
is what
they see.
That's what it's all about.
Liability.
So we all understand that. But in the process of addressing these concerns, you could take it too far, Lee. Now, I got this demonstration from Al Riveron Tuesday, who's a no-nonsense guy. Lee, you'd like him. He looks like
who
a guy.
Who is that, Ira?
Looks like a guy out of Goodfellas. Al, you know, head of, you know, the new Dean Blandino.
Yeah. He runs the officials.
And so he was showing us all these videos of
Dean Blandino.
Of these, you know, so-called dirty hits, and guys would be fined. There's a penalty, and there's a possibility that the guy would be suspended. After watching these hits, and a couple of them involved Bucks. It might have been Justin Evans. I can't remember who was in there, but one was a hit by a Buccaneer defender. The one phrase he kept saying over and over again, don't lower your helmet. Don't lower your helmet and initiate contact. If you do that, and it's hard not to do that, sometimes.
Virtually impossible.
You're going to get a penalty. You're going to get a penalty. I think this is going to take at least half a year to get these players to adjust to these new these new concerns.
Some people, Peter King being one of them, referred to the Pandora's box of the gambling, legalized gambling. What you just described is the Pandora's box, not the gambling. That's the Pandora's box. And
you can't take the hitting out of pro football.
I was going to ask you this earlier, Ira, but I didn't. But you've set me up now. And this directly relates to the Bucks. What I'm going to ask. Bucks went tougher. They got all these guys supposed to be nasty, ornery, physical. NFL's going the other way. Did the Bucks do themselves a disservice by going after guys who are more likely to get penalized?
Well, I don't think it's the same as when they picked up Deshaun Goldson, who was a good player with the Niners. Steve surrounded by better players when he was with the Niners, but then the rules changed on Goldson, and he comes to the Bucks and he wasn't effective.
The rules changed, but did he not start in the playoffs for the Redskins? They knew how to do it. Lovey didn't know what the hell he was doing.
Goldson couldn't make the adjustment as a Buccaneer. He couldn't do it.
As a Buccaneer. With Lovey the coach.
Oh, that was Shiano.
Shiano gave me.
See, Lee, I don't think it's the same thing. Bo Allen's a tough, nasty guy, but it's not going to be because he lowers his head. It's different. He's stout at the point of attack. That's what they want. Stout. Vita Vea. Stout. You know, don't back down. Ryan Jensen. Push that pile back in the middle. So I don't think it's quite the same thing as a defensive back who's known for his hitting.
Well,
Steve.
I don't know. I mean, they effectively eliminated the three-point stance. That's pretty much what's happened. And the Jensen part of it disturbs me a little bit. I'm a little nervous because I remember we were in front of George Warhop last week, and I think I asked him about Jensen or somebody did, and I asked him, is Jensen more of a zone guy, zone running guy, power guy? How would you describe him? Can you put him in a more of a one box or the other? And Warhop said he's just the opposite of a finesse guy.
He did.
And, yeah, but he can do it all, but he's not a finesse guy at all. Now, this takes a little... It made me feel like Jensen's to lower your head and bash the hell out of somebody. And that's why they made him the number one paid center in the NFL. And maybe this is an adjustment that turns him into an average center. I don't know.
And here's another problem with this whole scenario, Lee. And it's a big part of it. At the same time, you're changing things. You're making some more than subtle changes in the way that the game is played. And at the same time, gentlemen, you're placing restrictions on practice time.
Oh, yeah.
OTA sessions, what you can do at training camp. those two things seem to be at odds with each other, Lee, to a certain extent. I think that's going to drive, like, a Chucky up in Oakland. I think it's going to drive him out of his mind.
Well, you know who's smiling about all this? Vince McMahon. You know, Vince McMahon's going to come in, you know, when he
and he's going to say anything goes, gentlemen.
Well, I don't know if he's going to go that far. What he's going to do is, I mean, if you want, I could see Ivory doing this. You're going to take a zip line somewhere. You got to sign a waiver. Like, I'm not going to sue
right.
you of the zip line bust.
That's right.
McMahon's going to have these guys sign a waiver. Like, you understand the pratfalls of football. It's going to be physical. We are no longer liable. You are liable.
And you sign that. You
yeah.
have to sign that.
There
yeah.
you go. I don't know why the NFL doesn't do that. These, Ira, if we talk to five players today, now, granted, OTAs, we're limited on who we can talk to. If we talk to five players today and ask them, do you know you could wind up being a vegetable in 50 years because of football? Almost everyone will say, yeah, I understand that.
Yeah.
So why the NFL hasn't gone to this disclaimer, like, you know, show them a CAT scan of CTE, this is what can happen. You're like, I don't care, I want to make money for my family. Then they're off the hook. I don't understand that.
Steve, and you disagree with my premise here, but if this organization decides to have a more physical training camp than they did in 2017, and that's an if that you question, can you do so under the restrictions of the CBA? Are there ways you can get more physical during training camp, or you're caught in a box over here?
I have no idea, Ira. It's going to be a big question, I'm sure, for Dirk Cutter today. He's probably not going to have a lot of answers as far as...
You know what? I'm going to ask him that today.
As far as how is this going to affect your lines and the new rules and all that. My biggest question really is, there are a lot of rules in the NFL. How will it really be enforced? That's what I want to know. When is that going to start? Are they going to go crazy with it in preseason to try to get players acclimated?
Riveron said there's not going to be any grace period once the season starts. Zero. They're going to call it the same way September 10th that they do in December.
And to your point earlier, it sounds like the NFL is trying to play both sides. They want to be friendly to the lawyers. And they want to rough and tumble. With
isn't that what they're doing with the national anthem? Playing, but trying to play.
No, I agree with you. Anybody listening in the middle of work, you start protesting something. See how long you'll be working.
I don't see that. I don't see that view reflected on Twitter. I don't see it.
Well, we follow the wrong people.
No,
that's why.
Nobody's talking about it.
We follow the wrong people. That's why.
We must be out of whack, me and Lee, because we're on the same page on
no, this. I mean, and everybody will scream First Amendment. No, the government cannot prevent you from limiting your political speech. Not your company. Whole different animal. Whole different animal.
Speak on your own time. Say what you want. Say what you want, Steve. Have a press conference. Everybody will show up.
Hey, I used to work for Microsoft. If I jumped up at Microsoft and started screaming about Pence or, you know, pick a name, I don't care who,
right.
I'd be out the door in 30 minutes.
It's sticky. I mean, look, they want to punish the players now. I think if you just sort of strip it all away, okay, here's the rule. You're punished if you don't stand.
I don't think it's too much to ask, Lee, that if you're on the field, you stand for the anthem. I don't think that's too much.
How much money are they making?
I just don't think it's too much.
How much money are they making, number one? Number two, if that really twists you in knots, who's putting a gun to your head to play?
Fans are not coming to NFL games
to get lectured.
To see political protests. They're not. They want to get away from that. That's just the way it is.
I hear you, Ira. It's sticky. Look, the NFL, even by changing the rule here, has made it much messier and more political. I don't know what they really
accomplished. I don't. Allegedly, it's the same as the NBA, right? Allegedly.
No, I don't think so.
No, the NBA has a rule. You have to be on the field.
Yeah, you have to be on the court standing for the national anthem.
Yeah.
Why does the NBA get a pass? I never hear anybody scream, that freaking NBA, they ought to just shut the damn thing down. The players ought to go on strike. I never hear anything about that. NFL is all of a sudden the bad guy in this. Give me a break.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I mean,
I've yet to hear anybody complain about the NBA doing this. No one. I mean, if there is, someone email me. I have not seen it.
Steve, who didn't show up at Tuesday's OTAs? Who wasn't there?
No Jason Pierre-Paul, which is a little discouraging. Not sure what his deal is. Of course, Dirk Cutter doesn't say anything. DeSean Jackson was there. I looked through all the pictures of yesterday's OTA, which we didn't have access to. I didn't see any DeSean Jackson pictures, so maybe he just came for one day. No Brent Grimes. Dirk Cutter was asked about Grimes, JPP. He said, in perfect world, they're here. Oh, well, you know, that's
well,
the same stuff every year.
We're a long way away from the Buck Lurie days when Brooks, Sapp, Lynch, and Barber laid the law down and said, voluntary my ass, get over here.
To this day, Sapp is irked that Keyshawn Johnson didn't show up.
Yes.
But to this day.
That caused the rift between Sapp and Johnson.
I mean, he still complains about
that. That was never healed. It was never healed. Sapp went to bat for Keyshawn Johnson.
I remember.
To get him on the football team.
The anthem thing, you know, just because it's been such a hot topic. It's, to me, the whole thing is now so stupid because you're going to have owners coordinating, choreographing with players protests or symbolic gestures of protest, whatever you want to call it, and they'll just pay the fines or take the penalty, and that's not what the NFL is looking for. So I don't know how the NFL thinks they solved it.
Well, then you got owners that are rogue.
Well, how do you think Goodell felt 2 hours after he left the podium? Would all talk about all the unification. It was a unanimous vote. And 2 hours later, he's reading about one of the fellow owners saying, I'll pay any fines that my players incur.
Sure, sure.
That's got to drive Goodell up a wall.
Well, Goodell can also suspend those same players. What are they going to do?
They could
fire him then.
Well, no. They have strict rules in the CBA on suspensions and all that. So they can't. Here's the thing. You can't fire a player for a protest. That's in the contract.
But this league's
that's
been
different.
Big on unanimity. Goodell goes out of his way to say unanimous. There's not any discontents over there. And then all of a sudden, some guy breaks ranks. That drives the NFL crazy. That drives them crazy.
I don't know. I just think it's going to just continue and continue, and I don't know if the NFL accomplished a darn thing.
By the way, I met the new owner of the Carolina Panthers.
Oh, boy.
And we don't know how much longer they're going to be the Carolina Panthers because he wouldn't give a definite answer staying in Charlotte.
That's not good.
You know what he said? How many Carolinas are there in the United States?
Well, two.
There's two.
Like he's going to move it to South Carolina?
Is he moving it to Columbia, South Carolina? You know. By the way, another hedge fund manager. Worth $11
billion. We're in the wrong business, Ira.
I was talking to my brother about him. My brother used to live in Jersey.
What's Barry worth?
About $11.2. And so Barry used to live in New Jersey, in a town where all the Sopranos stuff was filmed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cliffside Park?
No. Now I forgot the name of the town.
Lodi?
No. It'll come to me. Anyway, now he lives in California. You know, he took the Brooklyn out of him.
He likes
Jersey
to pay taxes.
Now he's in California. He calls himself Kaufman instead of Kaufman.
Yeah. Oh, he sold you out, didn't he?
Sold me out. Sold out the family name. So anyway, he goes, hey, did they introduce that new Panthers owner, David Tepper? I go, yeah. He goes, is that the guy that used to live in New Jersey? I said, yeah, he lived in New Jersey. And Barry remembered that and said, well, when he moved to Miami, which was a couple of years ago.
Tepper?
It was a big deal. Tepper.
Okay.
Big deal. Moved his company.
Oh.
Moved his residence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no taxes in Florida.
Why was it a big deal? I found the story in the New York Times. Mm-hmm. I'm not making this up. One guy moving out of Jersey to Miami. Wreaked havoc with the New Jersey tax rolls. That's how much money this guy was making.
Ooh, no kidding.
And paying.
State revenue? Really?
Yeah.
State
I think
tax,
he was making $2 billion. And so he was paying, you know, $600 million in taxes. And they were all in a tizzy because the guy moved to Miami to get out of paying state tax.
Yeah, like $200 million in state taxes.
Yeah. One guy leaving throws the whole state of New Jersey into the... That's incredible.
That's what happens when you leave Newport Richey. It's unbelievable. All right, Ira, before we wrap up today, I want to remind everybody, Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. This is where you want to shop for your new vehicles, great Memorial Day offers. Go to their websites, edmorriscadillactampa.com, edmorriscadillacbrandon.com. I got something for you, Ira. It really struck me about Mike Evans, because it seems so odd. He was talking the other day about... We'll let you finish blowing your nose on this live real-world podcast that we run here.
That gives a little cinema verite, they call it. you know, it's real-time congestion.
All right.
Not only have I not heard that word before, I couldn't even attempt to spell it.
There's your word for the day.
Ira, butchering French like nobody's business. So, Ira.
And there's a real-time cough for you there.
Mike Evans hits the podium. and he's talking about yak. And he's not very good at yak.
I'm just going to stop you right now. This is the Ira Kaufman podcast. I'm not going to let this go on.
Uh-oh.
He said the same thing last year. He said the same damn thing to Kemper. You may continue.
Well, this gets a little interesting. So he said, now keep in mind, Todd Monken was his coach for the last 2 years. Before that,
Monken's supposed to be a brilliant receivers coach. Brilliant.
Before that, it was Lovey's guy. Okay? And Lovey's guy stayed on with Dirk Cutter's first year. And then when Dirk Cutter got the head coaching job, he hired Todd Monken to fix the receivers. And his guy in there made him part-time coordinator. So, 2 years under Todd Monken. Now, a lot of us think that he's the best wide receivers coach in the game. A lot of people feel that way. It's phenomenal.
What's that based on?
Well, Mike Evans says that he's got to be quicker after he catches the ball. And he says, I think that's going to come with repetition. Because in college, I was good at it. My first couple of years in the NFL, I was really good at it. My last couple of years, I haven't been that great. I don't know what it is, but I'll figure it out.
How do you think that's going over with Buck Nation?
Oh, I don't even know what to think about that.
I don't know what to say about it, Lee.
Repetition, he's caught
hundreds.
A
year ago, he said that was his main priority in the offseason. He said it, and he showed no improvement. And he only scored 5 touchdowns, by the way.
Yeah, you know, it's almost nitpicking, but I answered a question on answered a comment on JoeBucksFan.com this morning, late last night, where someone was saying what I just said. That's a little bit of nitpicking. However, when your offense is hurting to score points, that's not really nitpicking. But gosh darn it, I'll take a guy that puts up Bevin's numbers and the number of catches he gets over a yak any day, because he's moving the chains. Didn't you have
now,
a stat?
Lee, don't go crazy over 1,000-yard receivers. They're not a dime a dozen, but that's like 1,000-yard runners. You know, that's 65 yards a game.
Would you prefer Freddie Martino over Mike Evans because he might get better yaks?
Steve, my point is Mike Evans is elite. He's top 5. He's not as good as Antonio Brown.
No.
Even Mike Evans would tell you that. But he's top 5 and top 5 money.
I agree with you,
And so I want top 5 production. I want 10 touchdowns, and I want 1,300 yards. That's what I want from Mike Evans. And he's got talent around him that he's not constantly going to be double-teamed.
What was the stat you had about how many first downs he gets? He's like a first-down machine.
Not last year, the year before. Okay. He was a first-down machine. He was.
Yeah, I understand where people are coming from, that he gets virtually no. You know, to me, if you want to call it a problem, he's so focused on catching the ball, he immediately falls down. Which, hey, if you're – the first objective is catch the ball. So I know where people are coming from. I'm not saying people are wrong. I just think it's a little bit taken out of not context, but a little blown out of proportion.
Steve, to be fair to Evans, I don't think they threw him enough 50-50 balls.
You guys are taking this the wrong way. I'm just saying that it's an odd comment for a guy who is so young, who, like you said, Ira, is so focused on getting better in this one spot, and he just can't seem to do it. But he's also saying, I was better in year one and two, and now I'm worse. But he's 24 years old. It's a little odd. I don't know what to make of it.
He has improved as a receiver, though.
No. Just this one aspect of
yet. In this one aspect.
I'll take the over. And again,
we all would. We all would.
Well, yeah. That's getting back to my point. I think this is, I know what he said. I think it's a little blown out of proportion.
Steve, part of this particular aspect of the receiving dimension could be getting the ball on rhythm.
Oh, that's part of it.
That's part of it.
No question.
Not reaching behind to catch the ball.
Sure.
And when he said
he was better in college, I mean, Manziel threw more alley-oop passes than Winston does. I would hope he was better in college. He was playing against children.
Sure. Well, he said he was better the first 2 years of the NFL.
That's what he said.
Yeah. Strictly yak.
I'm not going to knock Evans about, and some fans worry about his aggression. He's drawing too many offensive foul penalties. I'm going to live with that
exactly.
Because I think overall it benefits him to be that kind of aggressive.
Yeah, I mean, and the people that do, not Steve, the people
so,
that
so
do
he
get,
gets 3 or 4 flags a year.
The people that are so concerned about yak are basically you're saying Adam Humphrey should be getting more targets than Mike Evans because Humphreys gets yak. No, nobody's going to say that.
No, nobody's going to say that.
All right, Ira, since you were wagging a finger of shame at Lee. Maybe 3-4 minutes ago, and we'll close on this, about 1,000-yard receivers. You know, how many were there wide receivers in the NFL last year caught 1,000 yards, Ira?
Oh, you're asking me?
Yeah, I'm asking you.
12.
13.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's pretty. That's elite. That's a, it's a good fair benchmark. 1,000 yards.
I didn't
is 1,000
know
yards.
I should have known.
How's
better.
That for a guess, baby?
But you know what? As I'm looking.
That's why I'm back in the podcast. That's why I'm back on Google, too.
All right, get out of here, Ira.